You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, even the international. We cover them all like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I tell you what, I got to honor the fact that our text lines are working, man. So I'm gonna go through.
Yeah,
I'm just like, Woo. Wow. You got a new one in there too, don't you, Boom? RG from Madison.
Do. Yeah.
All right. RG from Madison, glad you're in there. He says, after his first tour in Iraq, it was hard to watch one of his favorite movies, Black Hawk Down. I get it. After watching Humvees drive through the streets of Mogadishu, it was a little too close to driving through downtown Mosul. I totally get it, brother. He must be referring to my monologue from earlier in the show where I said, watching movies, I'm careful about which ones I watch because, number one, they invoke memories, and number two, they also, by the way, I don't want to watch one that's going to do dishonor to the folks that I serve with. What else we got here? Missy from Falkville. These murderers aren't old enough to even make decisions? Question mark. Coming from the same people that say 8 and 9 year olds can change their gender. What a great point, Missy from Falkville. Did you hear that? I don't know if you saw it, Boomer. I know you're working buttons over there, but she was pointing out this Tabitha Eisner says they shouldn't be charged as children. Their brains, as adults, their children, their brains are still forming, and yet she's probably all for allowing 8 year olds to change their gender.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, dang.
Huh.
All right. So far that's the text of the day right there. Missy from Falkville. Richard from Madison, regarding my comments at the very end, says, thank you. Jesus Christ did not say it's okay you sin, so just keep on sinning and I'll forgive you. He says there's a repentance, there's also accountability. Yeah, absolutely. Brandy from Athens, as to Tabitha Eisner, says, her opinion is total jackassery. Do you have a sound effect for me?
We do have a sound effect for that.
Total jackassery. Mike from Athens that says, light them up, Phil. We're there for you, bro. Jamie from Hartsel, normally listening on the internet in Decatur, heading down south to Alabama for a funeral. Sorry to hear that, man. Still listening on the radio almost to Montgomery. That's cool.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Well, we do say down south of Birmingham, but, Clanton to the Tennessee.
Going all the way down there, right there.
Man, that's cool. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it very much. Steve from Huntsville. This is the second shooting at an event center. We still don't have answers for the one in Huntsville a few months ago. I'd forgotten about that. That's true. Yeah. Says, I see a trend. JT from Lacey Springs says, seems the group flash mobs, so to speak, knives and daggers could have had similar results. They could have in a crowd like that. Nowhere to go. I tell you what, man. Missy from Falkville nailed it, though. You've got this whole ridiculous transgender movement right now, which is just antithetical to common sense, which defies science. And the narrative changes whenever they need it to, doesn't it?
So absolutely it does. Well, it just kind of, this happened. It's still okay. They just kind of work their way around the subject and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Or for that matter, ignore the subject.
Or go on vacation.
So Missy points out, rightfully so, that the whole transgender argument, which is, I'm totally chasing a rabbit here, but the whole transgender argument is that children can tell us what gender they are, and we should respect that and let them change their... And you got some liberals that are even saying, we won't even tell your parents. Come see us for medical treatment. We'll take care of you. State of Washington, I think it is making themselves a safe harbor for kids, or is it Minnesota, to get away from their parents if they have to get these treatments. And then she's going to say, but you can't try them as adults because they don't understand what's happening in the world around them. My gosh. I wish I had thought of that myself, but I'm glad that I have Missy in the audience.
Thank you, Missy.
I tell you what, though, let's lighten the mood.
Oh, I like this idea. It's been a little heavy.
I mean, that article from 1819 about the first responders, I mean, I was having a hard time with that article because I didn't have a chance to really review it until right before I went on the air. Dang. But let's do this, Boomer. By popular demand.
All right.
We have that recording from the Ron DeSantis team.
Oh, yeah.
Just blowing the whole transgender in sports thing out of the water.
This might be my favorite one.
We played it, what, four times the other day?
We did.
I think we need to lighten the mood right now.
I did keep it.
Did you?
I did keep it.
Well, then let's play it.
Team DeSantis presents
Real Man of Women's Sports.
Today, we recognize the men who've hacked the system.
Hacked the system.
Once mediocre in the men's division, now cream of the crop in the women's.
From mediocre to champion.
You couldn't cut it with the boys, so you pushed women off the podium.
Real man, steal first place.
Because without you, sports would be fair. Without you, women's sports would be for, well, women.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you were on the sound effects today.
I was ready for that one.
Oh, well, I love that. Hack the system from mediocre to champion. That's just so ridiculous. Oh my gosh. Jamie Hartzell said he finally had to switch over to iHeart streaming at Prattville. So we're broadcasting. Thank you, Jamie. Man, I have been wanting to test
that.
Yes. Outstanding. We got another brand new texter, Josh from Moulton.
Ooh,
says Right Side Radio is awesome. We just added like a dozen more new texters today.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Loving it.
Loving it. All right. Yeah. Josh from Moulton. Glad you're on the team, bro. All right. We're going to switch gears here. I got to tell you, this next one, I look at it sometimes and think, how did you get that job? Who elected you? How did this happen? Some of it I look at and go, okay, I know how you happened and you got to appoint the other knuckleheads. I mean, we got a series of jackwagons in office right now, and people who, by the way, maybe even be physically impaired to the point that you think, why are you still here? Dianne Feinstein, for example. Bless her heart. Maybe she's done some cool things for the Democrat side over the years, but the woman is about to turn 90. I kid you not, 90. She is feeble. She doesn't know where she is sometimes. You can tell she's not even on her game anymore. She's been in the hospital. She's missed multiple votes. It's been 60 days she's not been able to return to her job. She's frail. And I don't say that in an insulting way. I say that as a matter of course. It's just what it is. And yet, she's still there. Why? Lady, you're 90. Do you not have grandkids? Do you not have great-grandkids? Do you not have a life? Now, I will say this. It's not all about age. We're going to talk about age, and we're going to talk about competency. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen some sharp 80-plus-year-olds. They were just on the money, man. I mean, they've got it going on. And I want to be like them when I grew up. An older gentleman who's one of my heroes, former Congressman Jim Martin, passed away at the age of 99. And I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't look like he was in his 90s. He looked like he was in his 70s up until the day he died. But not everybody's got that. I also have to look at it and go, you've been in office for 50 years. When do you go to the House? When does someone else get an opportunity to come in and serve? When does someone else get a chance to say, you know what, there's a better way? But, oh, you got a $17 million war chest because you've been in office 50 years. Well, we're going to talk about this when we get back. And I'm going to start off by one of my favorite moments. If you've never heard this before about what Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson, who is still in office, what he said to an admiral about his worries about the island of Guam. It beats all I ever heard. And he said it with a straight face. And Lord, man, that admiral did an amazing job handling it. We'll start off with that. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the beautiful state of Alabama, which we just learned means you can hear it all the way down to Montgomery. Love that. Thank you, Jamie, for texting that in. Hey, I got to tell you guys, one of our advertisers who has been with us since the very beginning is ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, you can find them at their website, zlausa.com. Well, ZLA Solutions, they do all kinds of business type solutions. They can help you with your sorting and containment, your quality control, your logistics, your warehousing, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter remains staffing. They are epic good at putting people and jobs together. In fact, if you're looking for a job, you personally, you can go to their website, zlausa.com. They've got job postings all over North Alabama and beyond. But if you're an employer and you need people, you need folks, you got to have them. It could be onesies and twosies with special niche skills, or you might need a whole shift of people. Well, ZLA can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. They can have you an entire group of folks in there, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter is what I always say. And I've been saying this for a year and a half now. Well, they've been experiencing some of the biggest business booms they've ever had, which is great for the economy, but it's also great for them. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Do me the honor of telling them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, we are switching gears. I am moving into this third part of the I'm doing all three dippers, bro. Oh, man. All my brother. Just the very fact that I said this means technically I'm in the third dipper now. So thank you very much. So who's in charge? Who are these people? How do they get their jobs? They're making decisions about our lives. They're up there, you know, doing amazing things in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere that literally have an effect upon you and I. And they can't tie their own shoes, some of them. Okay, I'm going to start with this. And I do this not just because it's funny, but because he's still in Congress. Hank Johnson, a congressman from a Democrat congressman from Georgia. This is old, but it's legendary. If you have never heard the audio, or if you just haven't heard it in a while, it is worth it. So here, let me set the scene for you. I believe it's the House, was it the House Armed Services Committee? Yes, it was. House Armed Services Committee holding a hearing in April of 2010. And there to speak to the House Armed Services Committee is Admiral Robert Willard, an admiral who was there to speak about, he was head of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, and he was there to talk about the buildup of military forces that the U.S. was prepared to put into Guam, the island of Guam. And Representative Hank Johnson had concerns. Play that.
So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
I got to say, I'm impressed with the Admiral Robert Willard, who's head of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, for not laughing, frankly. Later, when he was out.
That's unreal to me. So he's with us. He was at all. By the way, his staff tried to crab walk that thing back. They were doing all they could. They were trying to say, oh, what he really meant was he was concerned about the ecosystem and whether it would be a tipping point for the ecosystem to put that much more on. No, it wasn't. You heard the word capsized, didn't you, Boomer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was rolling. I mean, I'm worried about the island capsizing and just, you know, just everybody just falling in.
Just roll them over because that's what happens with islands. U.S. What? Congressman, look at, and by the way, that admiral, if you got to see the video, that admiral did an amazing, I hope that admiral retired and went into professional poker playing because Oh boy, had a poker face like I ain't never seen. He's sitting there staring at the congressman. He goes, well, we don't anticipate that happening.
That link is on the website. It's on the resources.
Oh, outstanding. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Boomer just pointed out, we got, if you hear me rattling paper or talking about, you know, something that we're using as a resource for the show that day, it's on our website now. You can go to rightsideradio.org, go to the live stream page at the very top, right above the video feed. You're going to see a button that says resources. The triple dipper is on there with every article that we've referenced, and it's all right there. Resource. Thank you, Boomer. Good job. So yeah, how does this happen? How does a guy who thinks islands can tip over get elected to Congress? And oh, by the way, that was 13 years ago. He is still there, man. Still making laws, things that impact you and I. Wonderful. Well, Victor Davis Hanson wrote a piece, came out on Town Hall. Victor Davis Hanson, to me, is one of the most prolific and profound writers of conservatism, and basically gives a great historical perspective a lot of times. He points out this. He calls it the useful veneer of the aging Democrat. He says that in spite of everything, Democrats apparently need to keep what he calls the ossified veneer of respectability in order to ease the transition to the new Democrat Party. He says, starts off with this. He goes, President Biden is now 80 years old. He'll be 82 when he campaigns for the presidency in 2024, and a clearly debilitated 86 should he be elected to fill out his second term. He's been in government for over half a century. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and current representative from California is 83. Representative Steny Hoyer, the second-ranking Democrat House member behind Pelosi, is 83 and has been in office for 60 years. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is 72. He's been in office for 48 years. Democrat luminary and former chairman of Senate Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, Senator Dianne Feinstein, is 89, soon to be 90, has been a 53-year elected official. James Clyburn, Democrat from South Carolina, is a House Minority Whip. He is 82. And these are the official faces of the Democrat Party. They came into power during the Clinton years, he says, decades ago. They sometimes supported strong national defense, secure borders, and gas and oil development, and fully funding the police, and few restrictions on partial birth abortions. But not now. He says the party has been changed beyond recognition by people like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, the so-called Squad, the Congressional Black Caucus, and newly elected senators like Georgia's John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter. But Biden and company, they're still the familiar American faces. He says their final role is to try and acculturate the electorate to the new Democrat Party. Such an ossified veneer of respectability to ease the transition to what is now essentially a socialist European Green Party. I'm telling you, these are the folks in charge. How are they in charge? Why are they still in charge? Why do they even want to be in charge? If you can't find your way to the meeting rooms, or you have to have a cart to get you there, why do you still want to be there? I'm just telling you more. I got more of this. We'll come right back. How about John Fetterman? There's a story. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And according to what we just heard a moment ago, it's even bigger than we thought. But yeah, this station, this broadcast goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. And proud of it. And who knows? Maybe it'll get bigger in the near future. But all right, hey, listen, I got to tell you real quick before we go on. The Elm Foundation, one of our new sponsors, very cool. The Elm Foundation, Elm stands for Expect Little Miracles. They're a 501c3 nonprofit group doing stuff out of Huntsville that is changing people's lives. You got to check them out. Their website is ElmHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. And what they basically get in there and they just immerse themselves in the ability to walk people through what it takes to get off the streets, to find self-worth, to regain some productivity by getting them job certifications and helping them build their resumes and doing stuff that, by the way, they do it with accountability. They're not just throwing money at things like the government would do. They're walking people through it in a personal and relational way. And they're holding them accountable, holding their feet to the fire, and it works. So check them out, the Elm Foundation, ELMHSV.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard all about that on Right Side Radio. Hey, let me jump over to a call. I see, is that Jeff from Indiana's on the phone? Hey, Bubba, how you doing?
Yeah, doing great, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, buddy?
You know, the Democrats always, have these different wings and everything. You know, the socialist Democrat and everything. I think we need to have the Kakristakic Democratic wing, because I believe that would be a large part of the Democrat voting bloc and the Democrat representative.
Well, I'm telling you, right, really? There's a lot of cacistocracy out there right now. That is sure.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, what kept everybody from just dying laughing? It was only because some of them thought he was right.
You talking about the Guam thing?
Yes, Guam thing. I mean, what's really troubling to me is that after he did that, he was reelected, so the people voting for him are actually probably dumber than he is.
And think about it. Congressmen get elected every 2 years. Well, that was 2010, so that means he's been elected probably six times since then.
Yeah. I truly think that Mark Dice says it often that liberalism, they need to find a cure because it's a mental illness. and I truly do believe it's like your criminals and everything, a hardened criminal that doesn't have any empathy for anybody and everything. I think it's something, I couldn't steal a pencil from somebody, without feeling guilty, but they can go out and kill somebody and not even feel a thing. So there's something mental about, the way a person thinks.
Well, I mean, and of course, you and I have different perspectives than they do, but I'm just saying some of what we're seeing is absolutely banana, absolutely nuts, absolutely unconscionable that they are in office and that's the way they make decisions or that's the kind of things they believe. All right.
Yeah.
Jeff Rowe, be safe on the road, buddy.
All right, buddy. You have a good one.
See ya. Next one I got in line is, and this one is a mix of sad and ridiculous. So John Fetterman, I mean, it's everybody sees it. Everybody can see it. This is the emperor has no clothes on moment right here. He is not capable of doing the job. And that's not a mean statement. That's not an insensitive thing to say. That's a clear statement of fact. And we don't have the luxury, by the way, of trying to be super nice and overly sensitive to a guy who's a U.S. senator who can't do the job. So while, Dianne Feinstein's the oldest member of the Senate, right? While the president is sometimes like he's masquerading as a president, the vice president, it's like she has Tourette's sometimes. Well, Fetterman, article here from PJ Media, dated yesterday, says the Fetterman case is one of the more baffling. It says Democrats were so desperate to flip a longtime Republican seat, they went all in on a recovering stroke victim. It says if Fetterman had any decent human beings around him, they would have encouraged him to focus on his health and make sure that he completely recovered. Unfortunately for him, he was surrounded by Democrats. We're now forced to witness Fetterman's painful attempt at assimilating into the rigors of being a U.S. senator, and his post-stroke struggles are being chronicled and preserved daily on radio. I don't know if you saw it or not. I did watch it, and it was sad. I mean, I don't want to say I'm embarrassed for the guy, because I think he has enough cognition there to be able to recognize that he's not doing well. But I am embarrassed for him, though, in the sense that he's being thrust into this and doesn't know how to get out of it, apparently. But his May 2022 stroke left him incapacitated for weeks, and he was lucky to even survive. The other day, I watched the video as he chairs the subcommittee in the Senate, the Subcommittee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. And he was doing the best he could to read a script, and you weren't even sure if he understood what he was reading. There's that one. Who's in charge? How do they get these roles? Well, then there's Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. That's a big job. Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. On his watch, the population of the United States has grown by nearly 2% just in illegal aliens. We are seeing a southern border that basically has no meaning anymore. We have recovered any number of Chinese nationals sneaking across the border. We have fentanyl pouring across the border. 70,000 plus Americans have died from fentanyl overdoses that come from the southern border. Well, you may be curious to know that Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas, Republican of Kansas, announced that he's introducing a resolution to bring a vote of no confidence for Mayorkas. He wants to put people on the record. Will he get it to the floor? I don't know. He's a senator. Chuck Schumer still has control over what comes to the floor in the Senate. But what we got here is a secretary of the Department of Homeland Security who is so over his head in the job that there is no security in the homeland while he runs the department. And that's a guy who's in charge of things that matter to you and me. And, you know, Senator Marshall says, I think the Senate needs to show our colleagues in the House that we've had enough of the failures in the Department of Homeland Security. But the article points out here on hotair.com, as long as the House is controlled by Republicans and the Senate controlled by Democrats, Mayorkas is probably going to remain in office, impeachment or not. The draft resolution, though, notes that his pattern of conduct is not compatible with, quote, the constitutional and statutory duties of Homeland Security. Totally agree. Totally. All right, which one of these do I want? I think I'm going to take this one. Washington Examiner has a piece yesterday. How do these people get their jobs? So, you know all about the Hunter Biden laptop. The Hunter Biden laptop story, just to refresh everybody's memories. During the 2020 election, the news broke about 6 weeks prior to the election. Immediately, the press swarmed in on it. Immediately, it was suppressed. They shut that story down. Twitter even deplatformed the New York Post, who had broken the story. Since that time, it has been actually recanted, and the world knows the Hunter Biden laptop is real. It's been referred to as a laptop from hell. Not only are there pictures of Hunter doing crack with hookers, but it has lots and lots and lots of evidence that the Biden family has been taking money from foreign governments for years, to include the big guy, who everybody knows means Joe Biden. Well, you may recall also that as they tried to kill that story, that one of the things that happened was, and President Biden, during his debates, he championed this. He says, there are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what he's accusing me of is a Russian plan, basically shutting the whole thing down. Hunter Biden laptop looks like Russian disinformation, says a whole slew of former intel officials, to include two former CIA directors. Well, now what we're learning, a guy named Mike Morrell, who was one of those former acting CIA directors under President Obama, said in a recent transcribed interview with congressional investigators, in other words, he's under oath talking to Congress, that it was a phone call from then non-Secretary of State Anthony Blinken that had spurred the article, the letter that they all wrote and signed onto. The guy who is now Secretary of State is the one who pushed them to write the letter that was in itself the essence of disinformation. The Secretary of State was rewarded for his efforts after being a chief aide to candidate Biden to now be Secretary of State. How's that working out? How's our foreign policy look on the world stage? Where are we with Iran and Saudi Arabia and, oh, I don't know, what happened in Afghanistan? And what's going to go down with the war in Ukraine? And are we getting anywhere at all with our energy policy and foreign nations? And how's trade going? Anthony Blinken. How did he get this job? So Antony Blinken, we now learn, is the guy who pressed for the letter to be written and signed by all these intel officials to kill the Hunter Biden laptop story. That story just broke yesterday. One more of those. Attorney General Merrick Garland. We have just learned that there is now an IRS whistleblower. A story here on the New York Post dated yesterday. You may have seen the news. An IRS whistleblower, somebody who's considered to be a senior investigator for the IRS, has said that they want to have whistleblower status so they can fully report some amazing events that are occurring to protect Hunter Biden. Because Hunter Biden made millions and millions of dollars from overseas transactions and being paid to be on the board of Burisma and whatever else. Did he actually pay taxes on this? And apparently not. But the IRS investigation is being slow-rolled and tampered with, we now find out. The whistleblower wants to have the ability to testify before Congress and protect himself from prosecution or losing his job. That's the whistleblower laws. Cool. What you got? Well, what we apparently have right now is that he's prepared to testify that a senior Biden official lied to Congress about the tampering that he knows firsthand has been happening to try and get Hunter Biden out of trouble. Who is that person? We learn now it appears to be Attorney General Merrick Garland. Attorney General Merrick Garland in 2022 told Senator Bill Hagerty while he was under oath testifying before Congress, or Senate, I'm sorry, that there will not be any interference of any political nature or improper kind in the investigation of Hunter Biden. He went on to testify later while being questioned by Senator Hagerty that there was nothing misleading and that there was no intervention, and pressed on it further, does Delaware U.S. Attorney lack independent charging authority and how's this going to work? And he came back quickly and said, there is no, I'm paraphrasing here, but there is no tampering or interaction by the administration whatsoever. We have a whistleblower now that's about to announce that Merrick Garland lied under oath to Congress. How do these folks get their jobs? How do these folks get their jobs? I ask you, think about it. It's a kakistocracy. It's an absolute kakistocracy. Kakistocracy defined as a government run by the least competent of its citizens. It's where we are. It's unreal. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.